All right, so we're on Daf Ayin Tet today. Let's take a look. So if you remember, yesterday we did the Shita of Rabbi Chanina. So we know in the Chumash, it says that a husband has one day to revoke his wife's vows, but if he's silent, then in essence, then that's it. So, but Rabbi Chanina says that if he's silent, but he's silent because he wants to kind of, you know, to cause distress for the wife, but he really intends to revoke the vow. So he's silent, but he's thinking, I really want to revoke it. And then he's going to make the, you know, the verbal statement even 10 days later. So according to Rabbi Chanina, that's a good revocation. According to Rabbi Chanina, it's a good revocation. So
it's also a way of torturing her.
Right. Okay. Just one second. Okay. Well, I'll pause for questions, comments, and thoughts in a little bit. Okay. So let's just hold off with that for now. Okay. Let me just go back. All right. So the Gemara is asking now. The Gemara is in the middle of asking questions against the Shita of Rabbi Chanina. So we're around 10 lines down on Ayin Tet Amud Aleph, 79A, 10 lines down. So Mati Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana posed a question against Rabbi Chanina from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Now, here it helps to have a chumash open. Josh, you may want to get a chumash, but it says in the article chumash, so this is in Pasuk Tepav, so he says, it's on page 902. He says, page 902 in the article chumash, around 6 lines from the bottom, if her husband would be silent, he says, and then that's it. He says, so back in the Gemara, so the Tana of the Braisa says that the Torah is talking about even if his silence was just to give her a hard time, that nevertheless constitutes a, like an essence, an affirmation of the vow. Atomer b'shotei kamanat l'meikat. You say the Pasuk is talking about Shotei Amanat Lamekat, but he's silent because he wants to torment her. Maybe the Torah is talking about that he's silent with intent to confirm the vow. So then there's not, we're doing the Braisa now, but then we're going to, you know, deduce the question to Rabbi Chanina. So the Tana of the Braisa says, again, if you look in the Chumash, so in 5 lines at the bottom on page 902, it says, "Vima charish yacharish la isham yom yom." Bechimin ol dereh kol sarah shalea. Kimotam yacharish la biyom shemal. If he's silent for the day, so then he's confirmed it because he was silent on the day he heard of the vow. So it mentions hacharish yacharish, and at the end of the pasuk says, "Kecharish la biyom shemal." So it mentions silence a couple of times. Says Shuomer back in the Gemara, Shuomer ki charish la. When at the end of the pasuk said he was silent, that the Torah says is talking about that he was silent with intent to confirm the vow. So what do I say? The first term is talking about the beginning. Acharisha is he's silent. Then says he's silent. The first silent is shotei coming out lemeikat of the bear. So the Braisa says it's talking about shotei coming out lemeikat. So let me see. He says, So that's on all fours against Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Zamora, he says that if a man is shotei kamen aneikat, he's silent, but he really wants to revoke the vow. But he's just silent. He wants the wife to kind of stew in her juices. So he has up to even 10 days to revoke it. That's what Rabbi Chanina says. But the Braisa learns that the Pasuk in the Chumash says, Imachareisha Karishla, that one of them is talking about that he was silent, Lamekat. He was silent because he wanted to torment her. And nevertheless, by doing that, he's confirmed the vow. That's what the Braisa says. Let me just do another line or two. So the Gemara says, Velokim habashotei kamanat l'kayim. So why don't we say, again, so the Gemara is assuming like you have like two openings here. So I have one opening. We say it's going to be shotei kamanat l'kayim, where he's silent with intent to confirm the vow. And the other opening we're going to say is shotek amanat lemeikat. So the Gemara says, v'lokim habashotek amanat lekayim, habashotek stam, v'lokim habashotek amanat lekayim, habashotek stam. So why don't we just say, one is talking about that he intends to confirm it, and one is silence, he's silent without one thought or another way. He's just silent. He didn't think one way or another way. But maybe But then that would be a way to, in other words, the Braisa is clearly against Rabbi Chanina, but the Chora, the Gemara is asking on the reasoning of the Braisa, isn't that reason like is it logical that one is talking about not the extreme case where he intends to revoke the vow by silence, or that's what he's thinking, but one is talking about just plain silent, and one is silence because he wants to confirm it. So the Gemara says, there are extra psukim written. So the way that the Ron learns, and the second version in the Rashi, / Mefaresh, he takes it that Hacharesh Yacharish Yacharishla. It mentions Macharish three times in the Pasuk. That means to be silent. So one Hacharesh is told, in other words, we have three types of silence. You got this, Josh? I have silence. The husband should be silent. He intends to confirm the vow. Not according to the rules here, Daniel. Intends the soto. Please leave it out in the future, okay?
See you. Just doesn't want to do anything.
No. There's three types of silence. One is silence he intends to confirm it. So that's what he's thinking. I want to confirm it. I'm thinking I'm confirming, silent. The other is he's just silent. He's not thinking confirming, nothing revoking. He's just silent, right? And then the third type of silent, I'm silent. I want to revoke it, but I want to put her through. I want to put her, through torment. So that's the Gemara is saying. It says hachareish, or that verb three times the pasuk, and one is for each type of silence that we just mentioned. So that is the first nail in the coffin for Rabbi Chanina. So this braisa is clearly against Rabbi Chanina, and it's not looking good for him. Okay, let's look a little bit at the Ron. Okay, so Ruth, I hope you're focusing. In the Ron, 10 lines above where it gets wide in the Ron, the first word in the line is kishahu. You have it, Ruth? Give me a thumbs up if you found it. Good. Okay. So everybody have it. So Josh, you have it, and Yosef and Daniel, you have it as well, Daniel, right? Daniel?
Yeah.
In the Ron, 10 lines above where it gets wide.
Yes.
Chu America Khrishla Ribshotik Aminat Lakayim. Everybody with me? Aminat Lakayim La Acharze. So the Ron says when he's silent, Pibakayim, he intends to confirm it later on, not that he's confirming it right now. His intent is, I'm silent now, my intent is to be confirmed. At the end of it, it'll be confirmed. His intent is not that he's been claiming now with the silence. If that would be the case, how could he then continue to have the ability to revoke it during the rest of the days? So I assume what the Ron is saying, it says, in other words, Pasuk says, he says, look in Ted Bab on the Chumash, it helps have a Chumash for this, Daniel. He says, if the husband will be silent the whole day or 24 hours according to the other Tanayim, so then he's making it, he's making it, and it's talking about each one of them. So each one of the silences that we're talking about in the Braisa, it sounds like, and the way this is the way Rabbi Roblowski was saying, it's happening at the end of the day. So he says, "Mekayim." So I'm silent, but my intention is that it should be confirmed at the end of the day. He says, "Now the Ron says five lines above where it says wide." Below Dami, I show take him out the kaim to Hacha, and I show take him out the kaim to Le'el. So if you remember yesterday's Gemara, we had a Braisa that also referred to Shtika Menat Mekayim, and there the Ron said Mefurash that it means that he's intent to be Mekayim right now. So the Ron says, if you look on the previous stop on the previous Amud, three lines to the bottom. Lo b'shote coming up the kayin shianeder mukuyim bekat, that the neder should be confirmed now. Kolomar shekimo belibo, in his heart he intends to confirm it. Behind the parachini hachi hainu shama b'kiyim. It says so that then fits in. So then that's the same. The Bryce said yesterday the same as hearing. And being Mekayim and hearing and intent, to do it. So he says, "Lodami hay shotik amenot Mekayim damar hacha shotik amenot Mekayim damin lekaman." So the Ron explains that even though the Gemara is using the same phrase shotik amenot Mekayim, it's using it with different meaning. The Ron says many times in Shas you'll see a phrase and the phrase is one meaning in one place and a different meaning in a different place. And the same thing here, Shotei Kamen at Lekayim, he says differently on these two dapim. Okay? All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? Sorry.
Hold off
with that. Just on the what Gemara we did. At the end of the paragraph, we'll come to it. Okay. So on the Gemara that I just did, anybody, questions, comments, thoughts? Yeah, so we have one nail in the coffin for Rabbi Chanina. Okay. It was Rabbi Chanina, no? In yesterday's Gemara. It was, yeah. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, line 6 or 7. Okay, what do you want to say, Josh? Okay. Let's everybody focus. So Rabbi Chanina said that if a husband is silent, but with his silence, he doesn't intend to confirm the vow, just the opposite. He intends to revoke the vow, but he thinks, I don't want to say anything because I want my wife to kind of be distressed, you know, suffer for a little bit and let her go through it. And then 10 days from now, I'll articulate that I want to really revoke it. So he says he could do that. That's what Chanina said. So in the Bryce that we just learned, the Bryce that types up the Pasuk that was in Pasuk Tepav, HaKharisha HaKharisha Isha, so the term HaKharish means to be silent. If her husband is silent, so at the end of the day, the netter is Mechuyim, the netter is confirmed. So it says the verb 3 times, HaKharish, YaKharish, and then it says HaKharish Tabiyom Shamo. So the Gemara and the Bryce ends up the Gemara and the Braisa end up explaining that each term refers to a different type of silence. One is talking about silent, he meant to confirm it. The other is talking about silent, he didn't think one way or the other. And the third is talking about silence, even if he intended to revoke it, but he was silent, then at the end of the day, it's going to be confirmed. Okay, now. Right. Now,
so yes, yeah, so my comment, may I make a comment? It's not just
give me just one more second, we'll have the comment. Okay, one more run, and then I'll come to you. So 3 lines over gets wide, the run, krai tirik tive, says like 3 phrases, 3 words. Yeah. He says, hacharesh yacharish tre, hacharesh yacharish 2, hiacharish la ha-tlat 3. Okay, what do you have for me, Ruth?
Just that it's not just a stam that he wants to distress her. It's a form of torture. So somebody doesn't make.
Okay. Listen, she did this to herself. He didn't make the netter. She made the netter.
Right.
She made the netter.
Right.
The Torah. Let's put the listening ears on now. The Torah gives her a break that her husband could get her out of this netter that she put herself in. The husband may be tired of the wife making the darim and expecting him to revoke it. So he thinks this time I'm gonna teach her a lesson. I'm not gonna revoke it or articulate the revocation. But the Gemara anyway is rejecting this possibility. That's the way. Okay. Any more comments? You're good. What?
You're asking.
Why is there a supposition?
Scream! It's hard to hear you. Scream, Malka.
Why is the presumption that she made a vow that she did not want to be held to? This is the second time using that she stews in her own juice.
Yeah, well, in other words, what you mean, she wants the netter? She's happy with it?
Isn't that why people make netters? Because they want to?
But a netter, in other words, a netter is something that's like, it's like prohibiting on you in something. In other words, it's like script, you know, it's
like building
you.
Obama.
Right. It's right. So the Gemara says it's wrongful to do it, but it's like it's putting restrictions on yourself. So typically the person, that's what we're talking about. The person wants, you know, either hafar netter from the husband or to go to hatara for the chacham, that they don't want to be constrained by the netter. You typically. All right. Now let's see further in the Gemara. Now, all right, so we have one nail in the coffin, Rabbi Chanina. Now, we're 10 lines from the end of the parak and I intend to analyze. Matib Rabba, Rabba poses another question, or poses a question. Now, this is from our Mishnah that we did yesterday or the day before. Nadraim Chashecha, if she took the neder towards nightfall, may for la, this is on Shabbos. If his wife took a neder on Shabbos, and right before the end of Shabbos, that he can revoke it, or he has to revoke it before nightfall, even if it's Shalom Lassar of Shabbos, even if the netter did not relate to, you know, properly observing Shabbos, Shimlo Hei Fair Law, because if he didn't revoke it, and then it becomes dark, he can't be made for anymore. So the Gemara says, so the point being that the reason he has to do it before nightfall, even if it's Shlo Sar Shabbos, because there's no other way out of it. There's no other way out of it. The time is running out. So he says, Amai Levi Shotikanat Lemekot. So there's another question. If there is a way that a man could be silent, and his silence is in, with intent to revoke her neder, that's what he's really thinking. Somebody is not muted, and we have to do a different type of silence. One second. All right. So if it would be that a man could do that, so why does the Tana say he has to revoke before nightfall? Let him, you know, just be silent. Have in mind he wants to revoke it, and then he'll articulate it after Shabbos. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. He says, "Amai levik shetikamen on lemekat tiyuftos." So that's the second nail in Rabbi Chanina's coffin. The second nail in the coffin. Okay, let's look at the Ran on the second very the end of the first very wide line. You have the place, Ruth. Where's Ruth? Ruth. Good. Okay. Good. You have the place, I assume. Okay. Now. So the shame, Shimloi fair b'chashcha in yechol ha'afer, if he didn't revoke it and it became dark, he can't revoke it. So tamayayim v'lamayim v'firim b'shabbat. So in other words, the Tana of the Mishnah is giving the reason why we allow man to revoke the neder on Shabbos, afilu shlosh tzorach Shabbos, even if it's not tzorach Shabbos. Nothing with Shabbos needs. The neder doesn't relate to that. L'fisha shover k'defrish le'el, because time is running out. The clock is running. B'yamayim l'avik shotik amanat l'meikat. So if it's true what Rabbi Chanina says, and Rabbi Chanina is an Amora, but if it's true his halacha that a man could be silent with intent to revoke it, the Amar b'shotchem anamnekat matzi mefer. If a person could do that, l'fisho taha kama loetal dachi time an eder. So if that's the case, his silence is not confirmed the eder. Kol shekain dihavu amri rabbanan ve'enu mefer nedarim shilin sorach shabbat. So if the Chachamim would say, you know, you can't be made from the Nedarim, so certainly his silence should not be construed as confirmation. His silence in Shabbos is not because he wants to confirm it. So from our Mishnah, it sounds like that any silence confirms it. Okay, so now we have two nails in the coffin for. Oh, there's one more. One more run I want to do. The last narrow line in the run, I left one out. Matib Rabba, Nadrim Chashecha B'chulei. So the run explains Afagav Vitota B'chadazimna. Even though Reb Chanin is already upgestuck from the first question, Mufinalak 2, we ask more questions. The Nafkamina is on the first white line. Dimashachina Peruka B'hitaleel Akati Abiyach Tiyufta. Because if for some way, he'll find a way to answer the first kasha, we have another kasha against him. So now we have two nails in the coffin against Rabbi Chanina. Now we're going in for the third and final nail in the coffin. Well, all right, let's see. Mati Bravashi. Now, Rav Ashi posed a question from a Mishnah, which is coming up later in our Masechta. There's not too much left to our Masechta, I can tell you, but it's on Pei Zayin, which is next Friday. It says, Yodeani. Let's say the husband, he hears the wife make the neder and he doesn't revoke it. He says, and then he says later on, Yodeani Shesh Nadarim. I knew that that she was making a valid neder. That I knew. Aval any of the Shesh Mefirin. But I didn't know that I had the right to revoke the neder. I wasn't like Miranda rights. I didn't know all my rights. I didn't know as a husband I could revoke the neder. Yeah, fair. So the Tana of the Mishnah says he can still revoke it when he finds out that he can revoke it because it doesn't qualify as Yom Shamo. Yom Shamo means I hear and I know that I can revoke it. I don't revoke it. I sit on my laurels, so then I lose my right. But he didn't realize. So now we got fair. But one second, let's focus and we'll question the comments and thoughts in just a few minutes. Okay, but if he says, Yodeani Shesh Mefirin, if he says, I knew that the husband has the right to revoke the vow, of all any of the issues that enter, I didn't realize that this neder was the type of neder that I could revoke the vow for. And we'll see shortly, and we've seen before, the husband doesn't have a carte blanche to revoke every neder. The husband only can revoke nedarim that are inui nefesh, that causes the wife affliction, which we'll see shortly, or dvarim shebein on the beinah, or things that will cause hostility between husband and wife. But if she's doing some other neder, so then he has no right. So I didn't know this neder was the type that I could revoke. He says, but if he says Yudani Shish Mufirin by any addition to the neder, Rabbi Meir Omer lo yafer. Meir says he's out of gas. He can't do the hafara. In other words, we still consider that Yom Shamo, and now he's stuck. But Chachamim Omer yafer. Chachamim say no, it doesn't count as Yom Shamo. The Amai, then focusing on Rabbi Meir first. The Amai Leveke Shotek Amenat Lemekat. If he knew, in other words, he's saying, I didn't like this neder. And I knew I had a right to revoke, but I didn't realize this neder was the type of neder that I could revoke. So why is that? Why can't that be within Rabbi Meir first? Why can't it be like Shotek Amenat Lemekat? Like I'm silent because I don't want to confirm it. I want to cancel it, but I want to torment her. So here I was silent. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't realize. Why can't that be the same thing? So the Gemara says to Yuftas, the Gemara says that Reb Chanina was up to shlok. Now, let's see the Ron. Wait, 1 second. Wait 3 minutes. Let us listen for 3 more minutes, and then we'll get the questions, okay? Now, one second. Okay, Mati Rabashi, the fifth wide line in the Ron. Mati Rabashi, Odeani Shesh Nadarim. I knew that the vows that my wife made were vows. Well, any odeishes mafirin. I didn't realize that you could revoke it. This is on the seventh wide line in the Ran. Okay. I didn't realize that they had the right rule. So the day that he learned that the husband could revoke the vow, he should revoke it. That's like the day he heard of the vow. He says, "Aval ar hashta lo lo mikri yom shmiya el shudei antine ha'afara." It's not called yom shmiya unless I know all my rights. You know, it's like Miranda rights when you're arrested. So unless you know your hafara rights, not like yom shmiya. Aval, and let's focus now. Aval, any odeishes zaneder. I didn't realize shesemen on darm shabal neder. I didn't realize that this is a different ukimt in the Mishnah. He said, "I didn't realize this neder was the type of neder that I could revoke for." Remeir omer lo yafer. Achar yom shmiya. The Kevin Shodea Shabbat Mefer Nidrei Shto Mikri Yom Shmiya. So Remeir says, if you know you have the right to revoke vows, and you hear the wife make a neder, that's it, you're out of gas. The Chachamim Omrim Yafer. The Chachamim say that he should revoke the Kevin Shel Yad Hafar Neder Zeh Lo Mikri Yom Shmiya. Since he doesn't know that he has the right to revoke this neder, we don't call Yom Shmiya. Now, Vin Ita the Shotei coming out the Meikat Mefer, if it would be true, what Rabbi Chanina says, that if a husband is silent because he wants to cause distress to his wife, that doesn't count as a confirmation, and he could articulate the revocation 10 days later, or later on. Why does the Tana Rabbi Meir say he can't revoke it? He says, in other words, the only reason he didn't revoke it was he didn't realize that he could revoke it. He didn't realize it was a type of neder. Why can't that be the equivalent of Shotei Kamenat Lemekat? In other words, where the person is silent, but he doesn't intend to that the neder should be chal, and then he's going to articulate it wrong. Why can't this be the same thing? Nachinami, he's silent. He doesn't realize that this is the neder that he could revoke, but he doesn't want the neder around. So why according to Remeir? So what if it would be true, according to be right? Why can't that be the same thing? And you force to say that Chachamim who are chulik with Remeir, and we can assume who lo have you shmiyim. They hold it's not Yom Shamo, therefore you could do it. Aval yihavi shmiya, if it would qualify shmiya, modulate lo yafer. Then they would agree with apparently the Chachamim would agree. So it's not just with Remeir. Even the Chachamim theoretically would agree with Remeir if they hold Yom Shamo. El abade mashma the shotei kamenat lemekat lo matzi mefer. So it's mashma from this Mishnah that shotei kamenat lemekat does not have the opportunity to do hafar later on. Hilkach naktinan, therefore we hold the halacha, the shotei kamenat lemekat tistam. In other words, if you shotei kamenat lemekat, that's the same as just being silent, lomati mefer, elabiyom shmiya bilad, that you heard. The shotei kamenat lekayim, so he's saying like this. So let's say the person, the wife makes the neder at 11 o'clock, and 12 o'clock, the husband decides, I'm going to be silent because I want to cause her torment. So then the Ran is saying, it's confirmed at the end of the day. He says, b'shotik, I'm not l'kayim, but if I'm silent because I intend to confirm the neder, la'alter shubin neder b'la'afir. So in other words, the first case, there is a difference to halakha, you think. So if at 11 o'clock the wife makes neder, and the husband hears about it, and he thinks I want to put her through, you know, difficulty, and then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, before Shkia, he decides he wants to revoke it, he can still revoke it, because it's not confirmed till the end of the day. It was shotik amanat l'mekat. But if his intent is shotik amanat l'kayin, well, I was silent, I wanted to confirm it, then that's not a guess. He says, la'alter shubin neder b'la'afir, b'afilu b'bayom. So in that day, he can't be mefer anymore, because he was silent, he had intent to confirm. Okay, so the Gemara has three questions against Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina is history. Rabbi Chanina is history. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I said?
It's interesting that...
Wait. Daniel's talking, then I'll come to you in a minute, Karen. Go ahead. Who? Which case are you talking about?
The last one that you were just thinking about.
Where he intends to be Mekayim in
that. Right.
So then you don't need to make another neder. That neder is confirmed. The neder is in full force and effect.
It's
a different case. Right. If the husband revokes the neder, she can make another neder. Okay. All right. What do you want to say, Fern?
Why, according to Rav Meir, who says that you can't, it's like, knowledge or lack of knowledge isn't going to get him out of every situation. In other words, if he didn't know that it was the type of neder.
Okay, Rameh is saying it's the type of knowledge. What type of knowledge was he lacking? So if he knows he has a right to be made for a nedarim, but he didn't realize that the type of neder the wife was making was such a neder, so according to the Ratana Rameh,
he can't revoke it.
So according to Rameh, he can't revoke any. If he doesn't revoke it that day, he's lost the right. In other words, you could sort of
say
it like
this. I understand that, but why is there a difference?
You could sort of like rationalize like this. In other words, he knows he has a right, and so let him go investigate. In other words, she makes a neder. Are you a chacham? Do you know nedarim? But you know you have a right to be mefer, and you know that right's going to run out at the end of the day. So hustle around and find a chacham and find out if that's the type of neder that you know that you need to revoke. But in other words, he knows his rights. He knows that, like, it's like you know like in certain cases you need to file a notice of claim in a negligence matter. So you're not sure, is this, you know, is it a public
is it a municipality
or not? Yeah, so your attorney has to hustle and find out if it's a municipality. Otherwise, you're going to face negligence charges. Anyway, the word is a claim.
But the guy who knows nothing, his wife is saved.
Right. Okay.
But then what are the occasions that you can mefer a neder not on the same day?
Wait, say again, repeat.
What are the circumstances where a husband can annul his wife's vows not on the same day, because some of them
the only case that we've articulated for that one we've rejected. The only case that we've articulated that is so far is if the husband was totally clueless as to what his rights were, and even there, the rationale according to the Chachamim is it doesn't count as Yom Shamo, the day he heard the neder, because he didn't know what his rights were, so it doesn't count as Yom Shamo. He didn't even know he has the right to revoke it. So then the Yom Shamo is the day that he learns he has the right to revoke the vows. All right. Now, Daniel wanted to tell us something from Rabbi Ben Chaim. Let's hear what you have to say.
The only situation...
Wait, say it loud so that everybody can hear. Go ahead.
The question was, there is such a concept of Rav Munche that he cannot on his own without having two other people come and make.
Right.
He said the only situations that he has or can or feels comfortable using is in Hatavat Halom, the situation that...
Oh, that's what we said. Right.
He's comparing a man who kept quiet to bother his wife.
Right.
A man who
kept quiet
because he didn't know the law.
Because he didn't know the net was such, right.
That's ignorant. Over here, he just wants to bother. He knew over here. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, but in other words,
over there he has no idea. He doesn't know.
Yeah, but in other words, but in other words, in both instances, I'm being silent, but my silence is not because I'm confirming the neder. It's just the opposite. I would want in both cases that the neder shouldn't be chal. I would want it not to be chal. But in one case, you know, I'm thinking, I'll just articulate it later on. In one case, I'm thinking, I don't know that I have a right to revoke it, but I don't want this neder. So, but the thing is that the Rameyer doesn't take, and even the Chachamim, you know, they only hold that it doesn't count as Yom Shemo, but fundamentally they agree with Rameyer. Okay, so now, okay, I think we're good with this. Okay, Yash Padron Alach Nara Marasai, Yash Koch, everybody, you've all completed 10 Prakim in Masechet Nedarim, and I could tell you that there are the last parak in Masechet Nedarim, last parak. And there's a very nice stuff on Shabbos for people who want to come. And we'd love to have people on Shabbos. And this Shabbos, we're at
320.
320. 320. All right, let's see. It's the thing that talks about the four base of Mikdash. Okay, now. Well, no. Well, it's sort of a little bit drush, but it's famous drush. Okay. All right, now let's see the next mission. Now let's focus again. So I'm just repeating. So we said that there's not a carte blanche for a husband to revoke his wife's vows. It has to be one of two types of vows that the husband revokes. So again, we need the chumash again. Let's get our chumashim open. So it's the same page that was, one second. Okay, so this is page, I think, 902, right? Yeah. So if you look on page 902, it says, in Pasuk Yudalad, okay, so if you have a chumash in front of you, the Artsul chumash page 902, otherwise it's Perek Lamed Pasuk Yudalid in Bamidbar. Okay, so it says, the Torah says, Mefurash, if a woman makes a neder or a shvua, la'anot nafesh. La'anot nafesh means the cause of affliction. He says, Yishai kimenu b'yishai terenu. The Torah says, Mefurash, that if it's a neder of inui nefesh, the husband has a right to revoke the vow. And then, Chazal darshan out, there's another pasuk later on Yud Zayin, and this is not as mefurash, in pasuk Yud Zayin, at the end of this parsha, it says, Eilu chukim asher tzivasha Moshe, bein ish l'mishto, bein av l'mishto bein rebbe rabia, Chazal darshan out, that if the nether is bein ish l'mishto, that it relates to the husband-wife relationship, he also has a right to revoke the vow. Okay, so those are two nedarim. The husband can revoke only those. That's one of those categories. Now, there's a difference between the two categories. If it's inui nefesh, when he revokes it, it's dead. It's not coming. No tchias amesim with that neder. But if it's dvarin beino lebeina, if she made a neder beino lebeina, and that's like the type of neder that's going to cause hostility or problems in the neder relationship, and then the husband ends up divorcing the wife and she remarries, the neder has a tchias amesim. The neder comes back into life. Okay? So the neder comes again. Now, another issue that comes up in halacha.
With another husband.
Right, the next husband. He'll have to deal with his problems. Now, and he won't be able to revoke it, but she'll have to go anyway. So now, the next thing is that there's a question, what about the father? Can the father revoke any vow? Or is the father's right to revoke his daughter's vows limited in the same way as the husband? In other words, it would be inui nefesh or beino lebeina. So a whole bunch of Rishonim want to say it's the same, but I think the Rambam says the father has everything blanket. Okay, so now let's see the next Mishnah, and we're moving forward. This is it, the last parak. Okay, so now Hadron Lachna Ravorasa. Now the Elul Adarim Shumayfer. Everybody mute themselves because I hear some noise and I'm going to help you. All right. So, ve'elu nedarim shu mefer. The following nedarim, a husband can be mefer. Devarim sheish ben inui nefesh. If it has inui nefesh, he can be mefer. He can revoke it. Let's look at the Ran on this. He says, downstairs in the Ran, five lines from the bottom. Okay. The husband and the father. Sheishman inui nefesh, and here the Ran is like tipping his hat right away. The father's rights seem to be the same as the husband. Sheishman inui nefesh, the farsh b'gmar, zuhu adin the mefer nami dvarim shmeino lebeina. So the Gemara is going to explain that there's another branch that the husband can do, and that's what the father, dvarim shmeino lebeina. El denakar hane lefishu mefer otan legamre. The reason that the Mishnah here just addresses the Rav Mishnah who may fear Sheishlin Inui Nefesh disease, it's totally dead. He says, Bein La'atzmo, Bein La'cherim. In other words, it doesn't matter where she goes, what she does, it's the netter is dead. If it's a netter that relates to their relationship, it's only as long as she in other words, as long as he's married to her or has the possibility of marrying her, that in other words, like even if he divorces her, but she could, you know, remarry him, then the netter is dead. But once she remarries somebody else, then it comes back to life. Okay, let's just see the Mishnah. We'll do the Mishnah. And then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? So back in the Mishnah, and what's the Inui Nefesh? So Imrachatz in lower chatz means about bathe, I won't bathe. In the kashet, lower kashet means I'll adore myself or not adore myself. So before, like cosmetic. So the Gemara itself is not clear what these lines in the Mishnah mean. But taking a peek at tomorrow's daf, turn to daf hey. Page 80b turns to page 160, around the eighth line from the top. Everybody turn. So the Gemara says, Amra of Yehuda, da Amra, hanat rechitza, yolam alai, imer chatzayom. So Rav Yehuda's pshat in the Mishnah is, she says, if I bathe today, then bathing is forbidden to me forever. That's really rough. Ushvua shelo erchatz, or in the alternative, she makes a shvua that she's not going to bathe. That's pretty straightforward. Or, that's the first group. The second group is, the pleasure of putting cosmetics on me will be prohibited to me forever. If I put cosmetics on today, for whatever reason, I don't want to put on cosmetics. But she says, I put cosmetics on today, that's it, no more cosmetics. Or she takes a shvua that she's not going to put cosmetics on. So again, so according to let's back to the Mishnah. So according to the Tanakhama, if she makes any one of those Nadarim or Shavuot, then that's the Varim of Inui Nefesh, affliction. Okay, now turn the page onto the Ayin Tamid Beis 79b, and I gotta pick up the pace a little bit. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ein Elu Nidrei Inui Nefesh. So the Tan Rabbi Yossi says that's not Inui Nefesh. Let's look at the first run on 9-10 days, Ariyosi and Il Nidre Inui Nefesh, but far from Gemara, the Rabbi Yossi Nidre Inui Nefesh, who Flo Havian about the Ram Shimon on the Beina Havian. So, according to the Rabbi Yossi, that doesn't qualify as Inui Nefesh. So, the fact that she's, it seems very rough, not bathing and not putting cosmetics doesn't count as Inui Nefesh, but it would definitely count, according to Rabbi Yossi, as the Varim Shabbat on the Beinah. In other words, Inui Nefesh is sort of like more preferable. Then he cancels it, it's gone. The Bein on the Beinah is only like temporarily canceled here. Now, but let's see back in the Mishnah. He says, this is Rabbi Yossi speaking. What's Nidre Inui Nefesh? Amra konam peirot ha'olam alai. If she says that the produce of the world is prohibited to me, ha'rezi ha'kol ha'fer. So the husband can revoke it. That's Inui Nefesh. That's very rough. If the produce of the world is prohibited to you. Peiron Medina Zualai, if though she says the produce of this Medina is prohibited to me, Yavila Medina Acharet, you should bring it from a different Medina. Let's be quiet and just wait. Okay. Peiron Chenvaniza Alai, if she says the produce of this merchant is prohibited to me, Eino Yachola Hafer, he says that he cannot revoke. But if he's the only one that he's getting supply with, meaning this Chanvani gives him a line of credit, nobody else gives him a line of credit, then he could. Let's just see the Ron on this, and then we'll pause and we'll take some questions, then we got to move. So the third wide line in the Ron on page 158 on Ayin Tamid Beis. In other words, let's say they're living in Switzerland, and some produce comes from Italy and some comes from France. So she says that she takes an edda that all the French goods are prohibited to me. So you should get the goods from Italy. You can get it from Italy. He says there have been low itapana stoli menu, but if she says this chenvani, and she only gets from this chenvani, chenvani is a makifo. This chenvani extends a line of credit to the husband. He won't be able to find any other chenvani that will extend the credit. And sometimes he doesn't have cash. himetane. So she's going to definitely no food. She's going to be in an inui nefesh. Hilkach kafir. So then he could revoke it. Umistabra is Rabbi Yossi Nami benadrim peru medina shidaraba. So the Ron is explaining if she took a netter that she should, despite what the Mishnah says, but if she took a netter, she's not going to have any produce from the medina that they live in. He says yafir. In other words, her own medina is not any more inferior than the chenvani. In other words, it's going to be so much more tircha, so much more work to get. In other words, the place that you're living. If she's saying, yeah, he could, according to the Ran, when the Mishnah says he has to get it from a different medina, not that she took a netter from her own medina, but she took it like my example was France and Italy. But if she says I'm not going to take Swiss goods, you know, and she's in Switzerland, yeah, that's very rough. So he could revoke that. Okay, give Rabbi Yossi nor Farish Lamali Kim Dresh Milta Tanam Rabbi Yossi. The course explain why it has to say again give Rabbi Yossi. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah that we just did? We have 30 seconds to review, and then we got to go. Okay. So the 30-second review is that we said that a husband has only two types of nedarim that he can revoke. Inui nefesh and dvarim ben ol beina. And so the beginning of the Mishnah mentioned that it said that dvarim inui nefesh would be imerchats and kashet, things related to bathing and cosmetics. And again, a kashet, that's a simple shot that it's cosmetics. So the and the Rabbi Yossi says, I don't think that's inui nefesh. But that's between both of you. You know, nobody wants to be the woman who just bathes or anybody cosmetic. So but it comes under the other category. But what's inui nefesh? Inui nefesh, he says, the produce of the world is prohibited to me. Yeah, that's inui nefesh. And that he can revoke. Okay, that's where we're at. Okay, now, let's take a look in the Gemara now on line 8 or so, on 9, 10 of days. So the Gemara says, nidre inui nefesh hu demefer, shevem inui nefesh eno mefer. So, it sounds like, so again, the Gemara doesn't know what I just explained to you. The Gemara takes it, the only thing he can be mefer is inui nefesh. That's the only thing he can do, and that was before in the pasuk that we saw. He says, v'hatanya, but we learn in the Braisa, ben ish li ishto, ben av levito, and that was the last pasuk that we saw on page 902. He says, melamei, the Tana of the Braisa says, melamei shabal mefer, nidarim shabino lebeina. The Bryce says Mefurash that there's another category that the husband has the right to revoke the darim that come between them that cause, you know, hostility between the husband and wife. So Amri, they said in the base medrash, Halein b'Halein Mayfair, they said, you're right, the husband could revoke both types of vows. Mihu, inu nefesh mayfair liolam. If it's inu nefesh and he revokes it, it's dead, dead, dead. He says, aval, eibam inu nefesh. But if it's not inu nefesh, it's dvarim beino lebeina, kidita tekote havia hafara. So then, as long as she's under him, she's married to him, it's revoked. Nichi megarish law, chayal la nidra. But once he divorces her, the netter springs to life. And now the Gemara mentions that it seems, now the next few words, some say don't belong here because it seems a repetition of what we just said, but I will read the words. He says, the Dvarim Shebeino Lebeina, that's talking about if it's Dvarim Beino Lebeina, She'in Behem Inui Nefesh, Abal Yesh Ben Inui Nefesh, Lo Chayalei Nidra. So then it's dead. Okay? Now, this is a Sefer Magna. All right, let me do a little further. Now, the Gemara says, Udvarim She'in Behem Inui Nefesh, Ki Megarish La Chayalei. So the way you were saying, the way the Gemara understands it, if it's not inui nefesh, i.e., it's beino lebeina, once he divorces her, the Gemara thinks, then it's chal. So if I divorce her, the netter comes back to life. So v'hatznan, but we learn the Mishnah later on in our Masechta, and again, we got 20 dafim left in the Masechta. Rabbi Yochum and Nuri Omer, yafer. This is talking about where the wife made a netter that would prohibit ma'aseya deha, that which he produces on the husband. So the Tana Kama says he doesn't have to be Mayfair because he has a shibud. He has a right to what she produces. So you can't ask for something that a person has a shibud on. That the husband is prohibited on Ma'asiyah Deha, like wherever her handiwork, whatever she produces. So the Tana Kama holds you can leave it because you have an absolute right to it. But Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, Yafair, he should revoke it notwithstanding the foregoing. Shema Yagarshena, because maybe he'll divorce her, Uteya Surlo, and then she'll be prohibited to him. In other words, because the neder then will come to life. The neder will come to life. Alma, Kimagarishla Umefer Lo Meikara, Havya Hafara. So we see that if a man divorces his wife and he revokes the vows, so it is a good revocation. What's the sense? So it means like this. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says he should revoke the vow. In other words, he should be active and revoke the vow. Why should he revoke the vow? Because in case he divorces her and now he wants to remarry her, then the netter will be dead. In other words, if the netter is alive, he can't remarry her because it's going to put him in an impossible situation where Masiyadeh, she cooks me dinner, I can't eat it. So that's bad news. So what should he do? He should revoke it now when he's still married to her. So it covers every eventuality. The way the Gemara understands the Mishnah, if a man revokes the vow now, even if he divorces her, the revocation is still good. That's the question. Whereas we said, if it's Devarim Bein Ola Bein, as long as you're married, it's a revocation. Not married, not a revocation. But here, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says in the Mishnah, let him revoke now. So it'll revoke, even if he divorces her, it'll still be revoked. Okay? So that's a kasha on what we just said. So Amri, everybody back in the Gemara? So Amri, they said in the base medrash, Halein Valein Havya Hafara, that it's both. In other words, whether it's before or then, in other words, it's a hafara. In either case, it's a hafara. In other words, whether it's inui nefesh or bein ol bein ha, ella nidre inui nefesh mefer bein laaso bein lachayrim. Inui nefesh, that was said, it's like dead. Ain b'hem inui nefesh, but if it doesn't have inui, and there are different ways to explain this. Gemara, I'm just explaining it one way when he says ain b'hem inui nefesh laaso mefer lachayrim inu mefer. In other words, he can revoke it for himself and not for other people, meaning, and we'll see this shortly in the rush, that it's mufar, whether if she's married to him, or even if they're divorced, but there's a theoretical way that he could remarry, it's still revoked. But if she remarries somebody else, then the netter comes to light. This is Vahachi Kitani, and this is the way we should understand the Mishnah. Ilan Adarm Shumefer Bein La'atzmo Bein La'cherim, that these are the darim that he's made fair, whether it's for himself or for other people. In other words, the Gemara is like interpolating these words in our Mishnah. He says, "Nedarim sheipen inui nefesh." All right, let's just see the rush, and then we'll pause. We'll take some questions, and then we're going to finish it up. So, if you look in my Gemara, it's in the rush, in the fourth very wide line in the rush, in the lower left hand corner. Everybody have the place. Ruth, do you have the place? Good work. In the rush, Ruth, the rush. Okay. So ain b'hem inui nefesh la'atzmo mefer. So it has no inui nefesh, so he can be mefer for himself. Kolomar, kuma d'shayich la'atzmo hafer to hafara. In other words, whatever relates to him, his revocation is a revocation. Kozman shehitatav, as long as she's still with him. Uvein im girsha v'hakzira, or even if he divorced her and remarried her, it's still a revocation. Hilkach in Girsha, Kozman she Uyela Shubilav, therefore we divorced her as long as she theoretically could remarry him. Lo Kala Neder, the Neder is not Kal. Aval Nisaitla Acher, but if she marries somebody else, she was married to Reuven and now she marries Shimon, Kal HaNeder. Then the Neder comes to life. Why? Delomis Tabr Lameimar, the rest is, doesn't look logical to say, Shechul HaNeder Miyad Achar Shigirsha. Not logical to say that the neder is chal as soon as he divorces her, husband number one, then he actually ran a paka neder. And then when she marries him, the neder disappears again. We never see neder like disappears by itself. So the way the Rush understands this, and the way the Tosfos understands this as well, and the way the article mentioned as well, that the if it's Tvarim Bein Ola Bein Ha, so he can revoke it, and that revocation remains in full force and effect as long as they're married, or even if they're divorced, as long as they could still remarry. Okay, if she marries somebody else, then obviously they can't remarry. Okay, now, because even if they get divorced from husband number two, because you're not allowed to remarry a woman who married somebody else in three. Okay, I have to wrap it up with the daf, and then we'll take some questions, and then that will be it for tonight. Okay? Now let me get my sheets out, and if we have some time, maybe we'll do some of the sheets also. All right. Now, Imer Chatz. So the next line of the Mishnah said that according to the Tana Kama, what are Dvarim Sheish from Inui Nefesh? So Imer Chatz, Bim Lo Er Chatz, which we already saw the answer in tomorrow's daf, means that she says Hanad Rechisa La Di Olam Im Lo Er Chatz. Excuse me, not that. He says Hanad Rechisa La Di Olam Alai Imer Chatz Tayom. Is that pleasure of Rechisa will be promoted to me forever if I bathe today? Or she took a shua that she's not going to be rokites. So the Gemara says, Hechi ka'amar. So the point of the next Gemara between now and that shot is, what exactly did she say? So Hechi ka'amar, what does the Mishnah mean? Yilema da'amra konam perot olam alai imer chatz. Maybe it means that she said that all the products of the world will be prohibited to me if I bathe. That's what the Gemara is thinking. So the bathing is really the trigger. The bathing is the trigger. He says, Lama la hafara. So why is the husband then entitled to revoke the neder? Lo tirchatz lo litzran perot olam alo. And the Bach takes out the word elu. In other words, the whole reason that the husband has the right to revoke it is because this neder causes inui nefesh. But here, let her just not pull the trigger. In other words, let her show. He says, ba'od. He says, how is it that Rabbi Yossi says, "Ein elu nidre inui nefesh"? In other words, maybe she will bathe, and the parallel. In other words, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi saying, in no way, shape, or form is this thing anything of inui nefesh. But there is one. To make such a broad statement, there is like one sort of like root. Where it does sound like Inui Nefesh, all the products of the world prohibited her. Okay, that's enough for today. Now let me do a little bit of this, and then we'll be where we are. Now, all right, I'll do a story, and then that will be it. Okay, today's daf discusses different types of silence and the ramifications regarding affirming a vow. Sometimes silence can be like acquiescence. At other times, a person is silent only because he is vexed. He says, now, Rabbi Kiva Eger...
Slow down. Can you slow down a bit, please? Slow down.
He was angry, upset. Rabbi Kiva Eger's sterling midot were legendary, especially his humility. He always thought about other people.
Is it slowing down?
Okay, Ruth, listen, there's a recording. You'll be able to listen to the recording. We don't have forever with this. You only have a minute or two, okay? So he says, Rabbi Kiva Eger's sterling midot were legendary, especially his humility. I get this from the Daf Digest. You can go online and find it. Daf Yomi Digest, you can find it online. So he says, Rabbi Kiva Eger's sterling midot were legendary, especially his humility. He always thought of other people and was careful not to hurt their feelings. He was also exceedingly careful not to transgress any prohibitions. Every word or deed was meticulously measured. Due to his phenomenal humility, he rarely replied to queries from other countries. He would explain, the Israel is not an almond. In other words, the Jewish people are not like widowers. Bereft of Zoi Torah in Poland. There are numerous greats in your own country. I'm not worried to be chosen over them. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, he was a gadol ador, and he was a rabbi in Posen. Posen is like in Western Poland or Eastern Germany, I guess, whichever way you dice it up. But so what? He died in the 1830s. So he says, and he's on the daf, the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Kiva Eger. So one time he received a complicated halakha query from Lustig, Poland. Who knows what lustig means? What does lustig mean? Yeah, so, what? Airy? No. Lustig. What's lustig? Lustig. Lustig is happy. Okay, anyway.
Happiness. Sorry.
What?
What? Alistic nyante.
Yeah, happiness. Alistic nyante. Okay. Chab gehert. The Andra mentioned chab. Okay, now. So he says, he did not respond for a brief period as per his usual well-known custom. However, the people of Lustig contacted someone they knew in the city where Rabbi Kiva Eger lived. This person approached the gadol and tried to convince him to write. The gadol was silent, however, and their agent correctly figured that this signified the gadol did not acquiesce. He only refrained from refusing outright so as not to provoke the man trying to convince him to answer the question. Shortly after this conversation, to everyone's surprise, the gadol did respond to their inquiry. He wrote why in his tshuva, I am departing from my regular custom since, although I remained silent when I conversed with your emissary, I later realized that I might have inadvertently nodded as one who was agreeing to something. I therefore have no choice but to respond to your inquiry. The god was afraid that his silence, coupled with a slight nod, would be taken as an affirming silence. Okay, that's it tonight. End of the recording. One second.